We are joined by sociologist Veronica Newton. Veronica, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I need to say off the very top, you are smart and going to give us some really great insights. But for the record, we'd love to have you on my Newton branch of the family tree, but we are not related.
Yes, what a coincidence.
I know. I'm still struck by that, and I'm sure if we do enough research, we will find some connection there in the family. You know, everybody has a family. The Black family has been the center of a lot of national conversations and policy efforts by some. Can you tell us exactly when the Black family became such a focal point for politicians and in many instances, a pinata, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I would have to say that the image of the Black family being considered dysfunctional really started with the Moynihan Report, which came out in 1965. And really, that report was from a sociologist. Moynihan himself was a sociologist, but he wasn't really taking a very critical lens when he did his analysis on the Black family, right? Mm-hmm. The Black family was portrayed in that report as being dysfunctional, high unemployment rate. He talked a lot about broken families and broken mm-hmm. homes, which is just a problematic term to begin with because, you know, there's multiple ways to have a family structure. Family structures come in different numbers and different, you know, gender roles and all the above. And so he really kind of hammered down this image of the dysfunctional Black family and really blamed a lot of it on the Black mothers because Black mothers were heads of households. And he really said that this is the Black family as the single-headed household from Black women is the downfall of all problems happening within the Black communities. And so that really puts a lot of pressure and paints Black mothers and Black women in a negative light.
Indeed.
And so since then, that report was so pervasive and so endemic that narrative of a dysfunctional Black family is still present today.
And so it really can be traced to 1965, which is interesting because in 65, according to the 1960 census, 77% of Black families were two-parent families. So he seems to have certainly missed the mark in 1965 with that report.
Yes, it's safe to say that he missed a lot with that report. He really did not take into consideration structural and systemic issues mm-hmm. when looking at his report. He only used, certain data. He claimed he used census data, but, obviously not everyone takes the census, and so mm-hmm. You really have to be critical of all the sources, right, that were used to mm-hmm. run these analyses, which he looked at. In terms of children who were in homes were born without fathers, or education level for Black children, jobs. He really didn't look wholeheartedly, right, at the whole picture, I should say, when he looked at the Black family. Because if you look at the statistics of white families during that time period, there was comparable numbers. Mm-hmm. It only appears as though that Blacks were having family troubles, let's just say, mm-hmm. during that time period. Mm-hmm. But really, if we look at whites and Latinos, the statistics of their divorce rate and the statistics mm-hmm. of single-headed households, we're on a similar trend, right? Mm-hmm. African-Americans may have been slightly higher for those rates of single-headed households, but white families and Latino families were also dealing with that same problem, same issues.
So it wasn't an even-handed treatment of the families in America. And I'm going to say that not that I'm surprised by that. How legitimate is the contention that the Black family has had so many obstacles dating all the way back to the plantation when African Americans were not allowed to marry? And when there were relationships and unions and children born to those unions, often they were sold. So let's go back to the beginning, to the roots of our family in pre-colonial America.
Yes. It's really important also when we were looking at the Moynihan Report that he was looking at black families through a westernized, white-centric lens, meaning he was only comparing black families to the nuclear family or the traditional family as we know it. And it's called the nuclear family. It's often not called the white-centric or European mm-hmm. or Western family structure. Mm-hmm. And so he's comparing blacks to whites, right? Comparing black culture to white culture and saying, well, there's just not something right about black culture and black families and black people without looking at the fact that he's comparing two different types of cultures, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is really important for us to go back and look at how African families were. What was their family structure like in pre-colonial Africa? Mm-hmm. Way before European invasion, way before blacks were, brought over as chattel slavery to the United States. African families looked completely different than how we see black families and just family structures now. Black families weren't organized around the conjugal relationships, meaning they weren't organized around the husband and wife or two-parent household.
I see.
They were organized around a consanguineal household, which means that a lot of the times the core, the center of the family mm-hmm. was run by the brothers and sisters. And so if you had all brothers, the brothers would have a compound, and all the sisters would have a compound, and those were the core of the family.
Very interesting.
And so even when brothers and sisters did get married, oftentimes the husband or wife moved in to the same gendered compound or same-sex compound of the brothers and sisters. So the family structure was completely different than pre-colonial Africa.
So what an adjustment it had to have been for the Africans who were brought to America and enslaved in terms of the family structure alone.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And so when you really think about the culture and the missing culture and cultures that have been forgotten or we had to leave behind and we were forced assimilation into these white-centric, Western style of family. And so one thing that we can say that we still are holding on to even today is a collective family organization. So blacks oftentimes are very close to extended family members.
Isn't that
right?
Why we have so many cousins? You know, many times we are calling people
cousins,
and we all we share are bonds.
Yes.
We don't share blood, but we consider each other family.
Yes, exactly. And that can be traced directly back to mm-hmm. the consanguineal family cores. Back in pre-colonial Africa. And so during enslavement, you had enslaved black men and women having to assimilate, having to adjust, create new friends, create new family members, create new kinship bonds, and also create new gender roles. Because remember, gender roles and the way that we know them today did not exist in pre-colonial Africa. They mm-hmm. existed in Western Europe mm-hmm. with the man being the breadwinner and the woman working inside the house. So that was something forced upon Africans who were enslaved during that time, during enslavement, to adapt to that. And so it was really creating whole new culture and trying to fit into a culture that was not designed for black families. And so now we still see blacks adapting, adjusting, and assimilating to white-centric views on what is a family mm-hmm. or what is considered a family in the United States.
And to your point, the most visible family in America, black or white, lives in the White House, and they are African American. How has the Obama family, that nuclear family, helped redefine our narrative?
Yes, that's an excellent question. I really do think that the Obamas have kind of taken the dysfunctional black family from the Moynihan Report and really turned mm-hmm. it on its head, right? Mm-hmm. We have two, President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama are two very high, they're very highly educated, mm-hmm. right? And not only are they highly educated, they attended Ivy League schools. Mm-hmm. And so their class and social status background really elevates them and makes them very visible as to who can be successful, who
Absolutely.
Is considered successful, and what jobs. right, what jobs and status parents should have, right? That's a very, that is a very American value. And so with having them being so visible over the past, you know, 8 or 9 years at the White House, being the first Black family, they really have dispelled that myth. Of the dysfunctional Black family, because a lot of times you hear the rhetoric of President Obama not reaching out to the Republicans to try to make bipartisan decisions. And a lot of people say that he spends a lot of time with his daughters. That's what he does during his free time. And so that just itself dispels the myth of the absentee Black father.
Absolutely.
Right?
Flies in the face of it.
Yes.
And his comments.
Right. And so there's they're really challenging that image, and they've really brought a positive image to the Black family.
There are those, of course, who will say they are outliers, that they're the exception to the dysfunctional Black family. But there are, as we know, many Black families who are successful in terms of work, in terms of the success of their children, and all around us, families are turning this notion of being dysfunctional and a Black family on its head.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so they're definitely doing that. And so I think that for the majority of people, they do see it as a positive family image for the Black family. And like you mentioned, of course, there are going to be people who are saying, well, they're the outliers because they're so highly educated, right? That they may not be they may not be the typical Black family. But I would also argue that we have the show Blackish on TV.
That's
right?
A great point.
And
yes.
So that's a different. Yeah, that's a different, you know, family image, but still a very positive image of a successful, you know, strong, I guess, if you will, Black family. And even you also see the grandparents, you know, make appearances in that, too, to show that extended family kinship, as well as Michelle Obama's mom, mother, living in the White House with the Obamas.
Very true.
There, right, during the inauguration to support the girls, Sasha and Malia Obama.
And we might add also that there are successful Black families that are single parent homes as well. So we don't want to lock in that and act as if a successful life is exclusive to a two parent home, because all around us are examples of single parent homes doing well and exceeding. I find this very enlightening, and so wish we could continue to have this conversation in the Village, because you've studied the Black family, past, present, and future. And so maybe at some point we can talk about what these trends suggest for our families in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Would love for you to come back and talk with us.
Yes, that would be so excellent, and thank you for having me today.
And with a nod to our ancestors, I am going to call you my cousin. Not only because we share the last name, because I'm such a fan of your work. So thank you very much. Sociologist Veronica Newton joining us in The Village.